no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry. And in Latin Radical today, we'll be talking about the upcoming elections in El Salvador on the 17th of this month, January. The state and municipal elections will be held, and then in March there will be the presidential elections. And we're about to get the latest report from Washington. We've got Burke Stansbury on the phone from Washington. He's working with CISPES, Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, and CISPES has been monitoring the lead-up to the elections over the last year. And Burke just sent me a little message saying it's looking pretty good there for the FMLN. Good morning, Burke. Good
morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, how's it looking good?
Well, there's 9 days until the legislative and municipal elections in El Salvador. It's the first round of the elections because the presidential elections will be happening in March. But the FMLN has been consistently polling at least 15 points ahead of the governing right-wing Arena Party. And so there's just a lot of excitement, a lot of positive energy about the possibility of the FMLN winning not only the legislative and municipal elections next week, but also carrying that momentum into the presidential elections in March. And so it would be a really big deal. And the big contests coming up next week are at the municipal level, especially in San Salvador, where the FMLN currently governs the city. But as you know, the Arena Party, the right-wing party, is always trying to steal that one back, and so they've put on a full court press campaign, trying everything they can to just give a bad name to the current mayor, Violeta Menjivar, and really dirty her record. But so far it hasn't worked, and I think that's the most positive thing, is that in all the kind of dirty campaigning that's going on, both around the municipal elections and around the presidential elections, that the propaganda just hasn't been sticking this time around, and that the FMLN continues to maintain a significant lead in the polls. And so that's, people are really excited to see that.
Oh, that's very encouraging news, Burke. I mean, I had a look at some of the Arena election ads on YouTube, and they were pretty vicious, I'm glad you can tell us that it's not working for them.
Those ads really are vicious. I mean, I think maybe we've talked about it before on your show, but there's a group called Fuerza Solidaria, a Venezuelan group that's been playing these ads on the TV just constantly, all the time, showing these ads. And they, you know, they attempt to link the FMLN to Hugo Chavez and show these fiery speeches denouncing the U.S. and then say that if the FMLN wins, the U.S. is going to cut off relations and deport people from deport Salvadorans back to El Salvador and cut off the money that they send, and you know it's going to be just a horrible situation, and you know, with ominous music in the background and the whole thing. So they've been playing these ads nonstop, but it just doesn't seem to be having a broad effect on the voters.
Classic right-wing scare tactics, and it does seem it's a little bit like the line they took in 2004. Excuse me.
It's very similar to the kind of propaganda they used in 2004. At that time, the U.S. government was even more directly involved in the campaign. There were U.S. officials that were making statements about the possibility of the FMLN winning and cutting off relations. There were Congress people who were proposing legislation to cut off remittances and that kind of stuff. This time around, the State Department and the embassy has been somewhat more cautious in their support. It's you know, we know that they are not interested in seeing an opposition victory. Iran has been a very close ally of the Bush administration, but the FMLN's done a lot to improve relations with the U.S. and to meet with U.S. officials, and and to try to kind of shore up that relationship so that the U.S. is not justified in doing the kind of dirty campaigning that they did last time. The problem is that this time, you know, you have these dirty ads out there that are using the threat of U.S. policy to threaten voters, and yet the embassy isn't responding. If that were, you know, it's the responsibility of the embassy to actually come out and say, no, this isn't going to happen. We're going to remain neutral. We're going to respect the results. We're going to work with whoever, whichever party wins. That hasn't happened thus far. They've remained really quiet. So that's why this week, CISPUS, ahead of these next elections, we're doing a lot to pressure the State Department to get them to make some sort of a statement of neutrality and tell the Salvadoran voters that the U.S. is not going to play this role that these dirty ads claim it's going to play.
I guess you're not too optimistic of being successful in that campaign, Burke.
Well, I guess, yeah, you know, we'd love it if every time we put out an alert and went after a public official like the Assistant Secretary of State Tom Shannon, who's the real power player in this situation, that we'd love it if they actually did something and responded to what we said and followed through on our demands. But fortunately, rarely that happens. So we're going to follow it up with a week of action next week too, in which we're going to keep the pressure on, and locally we're going to do call-in days and let the U.S. government, let the State Department, the embassy know that we're out there.
I saw the letter that you set up to send to the appropriate politician. Perhaps you could tell our listeners where they can find a copy of that letter if they want to contribute to that campaign.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things that people can do right now. One would be to respond directly to that alert and either make a call to the State Department and make the demands, or send an email directly to Tom McShannon, the Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. And basically what we're asking people to say is to urge him to refute the threats that have been made by this Fuerza de Solidaridad group, to state that the U.S. Has the intention of maintaining a positive relationship with any government that wins, or that any party that wins, which is elected by the Salvadoran people, and to remain neutral and to refute also the scare tactics as they relate to Salvadorans living in the U.S. and the remittances they sent home. And that's really important, because a lot of people here, hear about these ads and talk to their family members and get very worried. So many people depend on remittances and depend on the work of their family members here in the U.S. And so it's important for the U.S. to say, no, we're not going to cut off this flow of money should the FMLN win. So that's what we're demanding that they say. Another thing, you know, there's a new president coming to town in Washington, D.C., you may have heard as well. On January 20th, Barack Obama is going to be inaugurated, and we have an organizational sign-on letter to the Obama administration, which also is pressuring along similar lines, asking the incoming administration to come out and make a strong statement. You know, these elections in El Salvador are the first big test in terms of Latin American policy for Obama, and he needs to demonstrate to all, you know, concerned and people who are involved in Latin America, and certainly to the Latin Americans themselves, that he's going to take a very different path than the previous administration. And a great way to do that would be to come out and say that the U.S. will work with whoever wins, and to take a strong stance of neutrality and non-intervention in these elections in El Salvador.
And you've posted the phone numbers and email and addresses of the key people on your website.
Yeah. If people go to the CISPUS website and click on the take action icon, then they can respond directly to that.
That's CISPES.org.
That's right. CISPES.org.
Great. And just moving on a bit, Burke, what else is can ARENA do to try and claw back this election? It looks like they've lost already. Is there anything they might do to delegitimize the results?
Well, that's one of the reason that one of the reasons that we're going to be hosting a couple of delegations, monitoring delegations to El Salvador. The election is far from over, despite the fact that the FMLN is looking good in the polls. And so, especially if they're able to tighten the polls a little bit through this dirty campaign, there is the possibility that on election day, enough can be done to steal the elections. And in the past, some of the ways that they've managed to manipulate the results is through, they've brought people in from Guatemala and Honduras in buses to vote for the governing party. There's been vote buying that's happened, especially in a lot of the rural areas and outside of San Salvador. There's a variety of tactics that they use on election day to try to manipulate the results in their favor, and if it's close enough, it's possible that those things could actually have an impact. And that's the reason we're going to be down there observing, and there's going to be lots of other organizations and institutions observing as well. So we hope that we can stop that from happening. But I mean, another really important thing that ARENA is doing is using violence and intimidation. There's been a number of attacks lately in the streets, and also, activists, I think we talked about this before on your show as well, activists from the FMLN and the social movement who've been killed and over the last few years, and that also can have a huge impact on how people decide to participate in the elections, through whether as campaign activists or as voters. So there's definitely a level of intimidation out there. That ARENA is carrying out as well, but we really hope that all of those things won't keep people from going out and expressing their political, their democratic voice in these elections.
Right. And finally, Burke, how is the FMLN handling the media campaign?
Well, the FMLN has, I think, done pretty well to remain above the fray a little bit and not respond directly to a lot of these attacks. One of the, I mean, respond directly to the ones that are the most ridiculous and baseless attacks, because they just they there is no evidence to back them up, and so in many cases the FMLN has felt that they don't need to necessarily, take on them directly. One example was in December, the government ministry actually came out and announced that there were 40 armed groups loose in the hills of El Salvador, like throwback to the war, that they're connected to El Salvador, or I'm sorry, connected to the FMLN and to the gangs, and sort of making this huge specter of return to guerrilla movement, which everyone knows is just ridiculous. And they showed some sort of grainy photos of kids with guns in the woods, and that was their proof. And it was, the FMLN's response and the candidate Mauricio Funes for the presidency's response was, you need to show some more evidence of this, and if you don't have any evidence, and if these are baseless accusations, then you need to apologize for even saying them, because there's just no proof of this. And sure enough, the story kind of faded from the news within a couple of weeks, because they simply didn't have anything. It was just a very obvious kind of scare tactic that just didn't stick with the population.
I guess the Electoral Tribunal is limited to a certain degree in what it can do. Do you see that as a fairly neutral, independent body, like it's not stacked with pro-ARENA officials, or is it playing a good role, I guess, in this electoral process?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately, the TSC, the Electoral Authority, is controlled by the right wing at this point. They changed the rules actually in the last couple of years to be able to make decisions with just three votes instead of four of the five magistrates. And so that has allowed the three right-wing parties that are represented in the tribunal to pass a lot of changes and reforms that wouldn't have gone through in the past. And so it's by no means an impartial or neutral institution, and that's also another reason that people are concerned about what might happen. But I think in terms of the TSC, there's been a lot of pressure on them as well, and with the Organization of American States there and watching over their shoulder, there's hope that at least the TSC plays a somewhat neutral role. But just, you know, thinking about the examples that I've talked about in terms of the armed groups, you know, propaganda that was out there in terms of these Fuerza Solidaria ads that have created this whole specter of U.S. cutting relations, you know, a well-functioning electoral tribunal would step in at that point and say that those ads and those statements actually violated the campaign laws and the electoral code, but they haven't done that. They haven't been active in stopping the really bad campaigning that's gone on, and so that's why there's a lot of concern.
And you mentioned the OAS and a few other organizations and states. How successful is the call by the FMLN to have plenty of international observers there at the elections? Have you any idea what sort of response that has?
Yeah, I think especially the March elections are probably going to be the most observed elections that El Salvador has ever seen. There's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of observers there from various countries and institutions that are present. And so, you know, that is a positive thing. That being said, there are a lot of people that come in from other countries or from the U.S. who are part of organizations that aren't so impartial and that certainly have a preference and may not be doing the kind of observation that you know, that we would hope to see happen. And so, but I think on balance, like, it's a positive thing to have that many observers there, and so it's going to be really important that the observers are active and really taking note of the possibilities that exist for fraud and irregularities, and also just really keeping an eye on this dirty campaigning and the political violence, because those are huge elements that don't necessarily happen on election day. They happen, you know, in the days leading up to the elections, and so, you know, having observers on election day isn't enough. It's what's really important is to have people a sort of constant observing presence, which is what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess CISPIS has its own people on the ground and no doubt very effective. Yeah. All right, well, thanks very much for talking to Community Radio, Burke, and hope to hear from you again, and good luck.
Thank you, Warwick. Good to be on here again, and we'll hopefully have some positive results to share with you following the January 18th municipal and legislative elections.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it. Yeah.